Oh, I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord in this place. You might have come in here without hope, feeling lost in your sins, but I want to tell you, you can leave here knowing you're a child of God and your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26? We have a couple of series from last year that we haven't finished on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We'll get back into those shortly and conclude them. But this morning I want to share on this new year a message about newness and a message that's applicable to our Lord's Supper we're about to take in just a little bit. As you're turning, don't forget to come early and pray tonight. This is a great time for a revival just to break out in our midst, and that'll come in response to prayer. Come early to the prayer room and pray. This week at 10 o'clock is Tuesday morning is prayer meeting. Tuesday at 6 is youth nursing home ministry. Wednesday at 7:30 is our family worship night. We'll be back in our Bible study. We had a children's ministry meeting planned for this Thursday. We postponed that for a week. That'll be a week from this Thursday. And then Friday at 6:30 is our young married couple fellowship. Praise the Lord. If you're appreciative of the Spirit of the Lord you feel this morning, could you say amen? Amen. Would you stand for the reading of the Word, Matthew chapter 26, again reading at verse 27. And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus really did this. He really said these things. Look at verse 29. "But I say unto you," I want you to notice two things here. First of all, he said, "I will not drink henceforth." This is it. This is the last cup. "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until," it's the last cup, "until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I want to preach a new cup. I want you to know there's a new cup this morning. I said there's a new cup this morning. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me and for me? Father, move by your Holy Spirit. Oh God, this historical event, when you instituted this supper that we'll partake of, Lord, it wasn't just about the last cup. It was about the new cup. And Lord, somebody, many of us, all of us, need a new cup this morning. Challenge us through the preaching of the Word. Move by your Holy Spirit. Draw us into your very presence. And may we leave here refreshed and renewed and replenished. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. This is what happened in my office Wednesday night before the watch night service. I had one bottle of water that had been in my office for 2 weeks or more. And I'd brought a fresh bottle of water and I had set the one beside the other. Okay? And then later I got thirsty, so I walked over there and I had a dilemma. Which one was the old bottle? And which one is the new? Now, you don't care about germs. You know, you that drop the French fries on the restaurant floor and pick them up and eat them and all of that. Let me tell you why I was concerned. Because, you know, you have microbes in your mouth and on your lips. And in small quantities, they're not very dangerous. But if it's had several days or 2 weeks for them to multiply into complete colonies, then they become dangerous. And not only that, you get little floatums. Do I have to really describe this to you? And the floatums grow germs. And not only that, I've set things there for about 2 weeks or so, and it starts growing mold. So I was concerned. I didn't want the bottle from 2 weeks ago. I wanted the new one, the fresh one. But I had a dilemma. I couldn't tell which is which. You see, it was this simple. One was from the past, and one was new. You see, that's where a lot of people are spiritually. They've not yet determined that they need the new cup, but they realize they really are tired of, don't want the old cup. I'm glad I can preach this morning. There is a new cup. You see, there's a desire, I believe, in our heart and lives that we, as believers, we desire the new cup. We don't even want one that was left over from 2014. Here it is, 2015. 2014 is over. 2015 is here. Amen. We are at a place, calendar-wise, we are a place spiritually and personally, we are ready for the new cup. How many can contest to that and say, I'm ready for the new cup? I want the fresh cup. Many are at that place, not just spiritually, but in your life. Many things have happened in 2014. You're tired of the old battle. You're tired of the old struggle. You're tired of the old difficulties. What you need is a new cup. And it isn't just that you desire a new cup. It's that you and I desperately need a new cup. We got to have a new cup. This time of year, every year, we hear about New Year's resolutions. And that's okay. That's fine. Even New Year's resolution. But more than a New Year's resolution, I tell you what you and I need. We need a new cup from the hand of Jesus. Hallelujah. That'll do you better than a New Year resolution. Let me tell you about something about New Year's resolutions. Many made those just a few days ago, and many of those are already broken. How many knows that 88% of New Year's resolutions are broken? 88%. And that's probably a little low. I mean, but you see, it reveals, New Year's resolutions reveals a desire of our heart to turn over a new leaf, to start a new page, to begin a new exercise or a new diet or a new this. But I want to ask you this morning, as the Church of Jesus Christ, instead of New Year's resolutions, what about we just look up and say, Lord, I want a new cup. Would you share a new cup with me? Hallelujah. A new experience, a new encounter. Hallelujah. A new awareness of your love and your grace and your mercy. And I can preach this because I can tell you affirmatively this morning that with our God, there's always a new cup. How I said there's always a new cup. He makes all things new. You see, I'm tired of the old failures. There's a new cup. I don't know which of these, but there's a new cup. You see, I'm tired of the old pains. There's a new cup. I'm tired of the old struggles. There's a new cup. I'm tired of the old fears. There's a new cup. Hallelujah. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's experience is gone. Youth camp of 2014 is gone. Revival of 2014 is gone. Oh, but there is a new cup. Hallelujah. How many desires a new cup this morning? I want you to believe that. Let me tell you what, from these scriptures, the new cup to me represents. First of all, the new cup speaks of freshness. Freshness. I read verse 28. He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. And then in verse 29, he said, I'll not drink the cup with you until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In both of those cases, the new drink and the New Testament, the word used is a word that means fresh, recent, not 2 weeks old, but recent. You see, it's easy, if we're honest, to see that sin makes things and makes people old. I'm not just speaking about physically, biologically. I'm speaking about mentally and spiritually. Sin makes things old. Did you know without sin, there'd be no aging? There'd be maturing, but there wouldn't be aging. No aging before sin. You know, you can always note a person who has lived a very sinful life. It'll show up. George MacDonald talked about the trouble is a lot of people have an old soul. Did you know you can be 15 and because of sin you can have an old soul? Amen. Ravaged by sin. It's that way. Well, knowing that sin makes old, I'd like to tell you that God makes new. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Ryan's already read it this morning. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Read the book. He'll give you a new heart. I said he'll give you a new heart. He'll give you new life. He'll give you a new name. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll give you a new song. How many's glad in a world that makes old? There is a God that makes new. I'm talking about fresh, fresh. Amen. I say this to make a point. I don't want to discourage you. But do you realize how many sermons that you sit through? This applies specifically to those who are regular in attendance, but did you know if you're 18, how many 18 years olds we have are real close to it, real close to 18? Well, that's kind of a missing number here this morning. If you're 18, you have listened to 2,700 sermons. That's a whole lot of Pastor Hurst. If you're 50, anyone 50 here? I know there are. You just don't like to admit it. If you're 50, you have listened to 7,500 sermons. You can keep your hands down. Anyone 75? You have listened to 11,250 sermons. That's a lot of sermons. You know, I saw folks all through the service lifting their hands in worship. Let's just say on average, you do that 3 times a service. That'd be a real workout for some folks. But let's just say on average, you lift your hands in worship 3 times a service. In 10 years, you've lifted your hands 4,500 times. In 20 years, you've lifted your hand 9,000 times. This morning on Pandora, I heard him singing Amazing Grace. How many times have you heard or sang Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. How many times? Well, let's just say, without a doubt, if you've been a Christian very long, you've sung or heard Amazing Grace hundreds or even thousands of times. What about partaking of communion? I don't know all the customs before I took the pastorate, but since I've pastored, we've partaken of communion once a month. That means since I've been your pastor, if you've been here the duration of that time, somebody asked me, how long you been there? Just this last week, I said, well, almost 24 years, but it seems a lot longer to a lot of folks, but it's just been 24 years. But if you've been here the duration of the pastorate, you have partaken of communion 276 times. You're saying, it could get really old. But I want you to know, in spite of all of that, he still got a new cup. We could sing Amazing Grace this morning, and all of a sudden, it could be the most fresh thing about the grace of God you've ever heard. You've sat through thousands of sermons, but something this morning could enter your heart and just change everything to newness and freshness. Aren't you glad? He's a God that can make it all new. In fact, I think he's already doing it right in the service. I'm telling you, with God, I mean, how many times have we heard that song, the choir sing, His grace and mercy, but suddenly, I saw it. Somebody was given a new cup, and I saw them jump up with their hands in the air. Oh, they heard that song over. I'm telling you, he's able to do that. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what a lot of folks need. When it gets old, don't go looking out there. Don't turn to sin. That'll just ruin you further. When it gets old, say, I need a new cup. I need a refreshing. I need a renewing. I need a replenishing. And with God, there's a new lease on life. There's a new beginning. There's a new book. There's a new chapter. There's a new start. There's a new depth. There's a new height. There's a new cup. Oh, hallelujah. How many needs a new cup this morning? Secondly, a new cup speaks of the future. Look at verse 29. Jesus said, we're partaking of this cup, but I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day. I will not drink. In other words, here, get this. This is what Jesus was saying. I'm drinking this cup with you now. Let me just borrow one of these right here. He said, I'm drinking this cup with you right now. But this is it. I won't be drinking of this. Can you imagine what went through his disciples' hearts and mind when he said, I won't drink this with you anymore. How many cups had they drank with him around tables? And he said, this is it. This is the last cup I'm drinking with you. In other words, there'll be a time I'm not going to be at the table with you. There'll be a time I won't be around. He had tried to tell him what he was saying one more time when he said, I'll not drink this with you. He was saying, I'm about to die. It's not going to be possible to drink with me because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be dead. And you know, at that moment, the disciples are starting to get it. I tell you, there was no levity there. There was no joking. There was no light spirit. The disciples were beginning to get it. When he said, I'll not drink of this with you anymore, they were realizing he was saying, this is the end of the road. It's never going to be like this again. And you know, those disciples had been thinking Jesus was going to throw off the power of Rome and set up the Messianic kingdom, and they were going to rule with him in power and glory. And they're getting it, Brother Brock. Jesus saying, this is the last cup. I'll not drink this with you anymore. This is it. It was looking like something drastic was going to happen, and it was. Jesus wasn't going to be there any longer. It was going to get really dark, and they were being told they were going to enter a time and a moment of testing. But what I want you to realize in this verse, Jesus wasn't just saying that the Last Supper was the final supper. He was simply saying it's the Last Supper before Calvary. And he wasn't saying the last cup was the final cup. He was saying it was the last cup before Calvary. It was the last before that moment and night of darkness. At Calvary, they were going to believe that there would never be another cup shared with Jesus. They would flee. He would be nailed to a cross. And in their minds, there would never be another cup with Jesus. Oh, but Jesus didn't stop with just, I will not drink it again. He put in there, until I drink it new. Yes, there is a final cup, amen, before Calvary. But there's a new cup after Calvary. Yes, there's a last cup before the night. Oh, but there's a new cup coming Sunday morning. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. With him, amen, there is going to be a new cup. Amen. I just want to pause here because there's some discussion here. When did Jesus mean he would drink a new cup in his Father's kingdom? Some feel like what he means is he'll not drink a cup with them until he has resurrected, because in resurrection the kingdom of the Father will come with all its power. And he had a cup with them again. I just read this morning he was about, after his resurrection, he shared that meal with them, a fish around the fire. Amen. So the new cup is after the resurrection, when the kingdom has come in all its resurrection glory. Others say no, it's talking about that supper, that marriage supper, when all of God's people are called home and we share the table with the Lord in eternity. Amen. I think it means both. Hallelujah. I think what he was saying, this is the last cup before Calvary. But Calvary's not the end of the road. Calvary doesn't mean it's all, because I shall rise again. And when I rise again, you're going to see me hand you a fresh cup. I'm telling you, you've been in a moment of Calvary. Everything is dark. You can't see your way forward. But I want to tell you what Jesus was saying. Amen. He was saying, you think this is the last, but with me, you always have a future. I said, you always have. This is the last cup now, but there's a future. There's a new cup. You've been in a moment of Calvary, but Jesus is saying to you this morning, you have a future. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how bad the struggle. I don't care if you think you've come to the end of the road. If you are in Christ, you have a future. There's a new cup. There's a freshness. There's a future for the child of God. How many can believe it this morning? Oh, hallelujah. What Jesus was saying, however bad things were looking with Christ, at that moment, there was a new day, a new testament, a new age, a new beginning. There was a future. That cup that night, Brother Cruz, was the last cup of the Old Testament. But it wouldn't be long till they'd get the new cup of the New Testament, the new covenant. Oh, hallelujah. With him, there's a future. A new age means there's a new cup. There's a new cup on the other side of death and night. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you've ever tasted of the new cup, you don't ever want to return to the old cup before Calvary. Give us the new cup after Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to encourage someone this morning. Amen. Like the disciples, you never know when you drink the last cup. You never know when it's going to be, when you're going to get the first cup of freshness and newness. But if you will be faithful, if you'll be steady, if you'll keep trusting him, the last cup of your suffering, your trial, your difficulty will one day be replaced by the new cup, because in him you have a future. World can't give you that. I said, with him you have a future. I want to say it one more time. With him, there's a new cup, which means there's a future. It just looks like the end of the road. Last of all, a new cup speaks of fellowship. Look in verse 29. He said, I will not henceforth of this fruit of the vine drink. Let me start over. I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new. What? New with you. In my Father's kingdom. You see, it's not just that there's going to be a new cup. It's that they're going to share it with Jesus. Could I tell you that's what makes it new? Is that it's with Jesus. It's his fellowship. It's his presence. When things are getting old, don't run from, run to Jesus. Because it's the with him that makes it new. Oh, how many has found that to be true? It's the with him that makes it new. The new cup speaks of fellowship. You see, they might have used the same cup. Hopefully they washed it. They might have used the same kind of juice. What made it new is that it was with him. And he implies here that it's going to be a shared thing. And where do you share the cup? You share it at the table. They're going to see him nailed to the cross, but they have the promise he's going to be at the table with them once again. Hallelujah. And that fellowship, that sharing, is what made it so fresh, so new, so hopeful. Amen. It was with him. I got to thinking about that. I know 2,000 years have passed. But should we not believe that even this morning, when we partake of the cup, that he's here with us? Won't that make it new? He's at the table with us. We've moved beyond that tradition. We've got just these little disposable cups, but in some parts of the world, they still follow the custom, because most historians believe they had a common cup. And at the table, Jesus passed it, and each disciple drank from the same cup. We're too into microbes for that, but they had a common cup. How many lift hands say, I'm glad we don't still use a common cup? Well, they don't believe it. Here, you take a drink and pass it on. You don't even drink after your husband, do you? See? We don't have a common cup, but we are drinking it with him. Doesn't that change everything? Now, I want to tell you something. This is very important, church. Listen. Not only were they going to share that new cup with him, but since the promise was made to each of them, they were going to share the new cup with one another. I want to tell you, one of the things that makes this communion so new isn't just that we share it with him, but that we share it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hear my words. In 2015, we are going to need each other like we've never needed one another before. And I want to tell you something. Satan, he trips up a lot of people in their thinking. But when you walk away from the table of your brothers and sisters, you don't just leave a space, you leave a hurt in folks' heart. You hear me? I didn't design it that way. This is more than a club. We're doing more than playing bingo this morning. This is more than any of those things. This is more than a party. This is the body of Christ expressed here. And something happens when we share a cup with him. See, we got to have both. You leave the with him out, and everything's an issue. Everything's a problem. I don't like this one over here because they like this kind of singing. And I like that. This is a problem. But I'm telling you, when you realize it's not just with us, but the thing we have in common is that he is at the table. Oh, hallelujah. I said, that changes everything. Brother Rose, you and I may have differences. We don't. We're on the best of terms, but we may have differences. You just hadn't told me about them yet. But if we're sharing the cup with him, look at all we have in common. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, what fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. It's him, his being at the table. It's not a time to pull back and isolate yourself. It's a time to be as involved at the table as you've ever been. Because in that fellowship, there is a newness. Now, I want to tell you something. Drink always implies cooperative participation. Amen. My grandkids, the older ones, 4 and 5, amen, had the flu, and I watched their parents try to get them to drink that stuff. I mean, cherry and bubble gum, and it was a big ordeal. I'm telling you why. Because drinking requires cooperative participation. You can pour it in a glass. You can hold their nose. You can open their mouth, but they still got to cooperate. Amen. There is a new cup, and I'm not trying to say we're children, but the truth is the same. He's got a new cup. But if we receive the new cup, it requires cooperative participation. We must receive it from his hand. We must open up our heart and our mind and our life and say, oh God, I need a new cup. I think if we would participate, we would receive the newness, and it would come from the fellowship with the Lord. I preach the watch night service, not because I preached it, not because it's a great sermon, but because it deals with this idea of newness in the new year. If you weren't here, archive it. Get a copy out of the archive. I preach to those on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts begin to burn within them. When did that happen? When did their hearts begin to burn? It's when they sat down and had fellowship and walked and had fellowship with Jesus that their hearts burned within them again. I'm trying to preach. Fellowship with him brings the newness. Oh, strike up amazing grace again. The difference is he's at the table. We're in his presence. The one that we're singing about is amongst us. Music, would you come? Those that are going to sing, would you come? I was reading some about the new Pope, and He took the name of St. Francis of Assisi, the one who took the poverty vow so long ago. I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm not neither promoting the Pope or running down St. Assisi, but St. Assisi so wanted to have that life of poverty that he'd be invited to a banquet, sometimes in the king's hall, and the very best was on the table. But he'd leave the dining room and go back to the kitchen area and beg any leftover days-old crust of bread that they might have. And to him, that was the path of spirituality, to turn down the fresh baked loaves on the king's table and just sit there and crunch on those days-old molded crust. Amen. Whatever his accomplishments were in that, let me say, too many of those who've met Christ are like St. Francis of Assisi. They're content to munch on the molded old crust of past experiences when the whole time at the king's table there's fresh loaves of bread, there's a new cup to drink. I wonder how many this morning, you don't have to look to him, but you just say in your heart, I'm tired of the old crust of the past. I need fresh bread. I need a new cup. Oh, does anyone have that longing in your heart? I need a new cup. I need a new cup. This is the first communion of 2015. Will you let the cup be new this morning? Will you come to his table? When I say come to his table, I mean really be here. Really be here in this communion, in your mind, in your heart. Drink with him. Fellowship with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Oh, God, give us a new cup. Give us new passion, new desire, new fellowship, new communion with Jesus. It's new, and believe this, if we'll let him, he'll drink it with us this morning. Oh, how many's going to share his cup? Could you do it? This is a personal thing between you and the Lord. It's not about the dynamics of having church. It's none of that. It's about his presence. I want you to focus your mind as the servers come. Would you focus your mind wholly on Jesus? Would you do that? Would you think of all that he's done? Amen. All that he's done for you. Would you think about it? I want you to do something else this morning as you're thinking. Amen. I want you to think of those of you, you know, the experience is growing old. You know you've been through a dark night. You know you're facing a Calvary of a struggle. Amen. You can't remember the last time you felt a spiritual freshness or newness. What I want you to think is, I need a new cup this morning. And by the grace and mercy of God, when I partake of this communion in a little bit, I'm going to partake in fellowship with him. And it's going to be a brand new cup, renewing my faith, renewing my burden, renewing my vision, renewing my mind, and transforming my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're new to being served, if you profess faith in Christ, we invite you to partake with us this morning. We just ask that everyone hold the elements till all have been served and we'll partake together.
Father's tender mercies every day. And though I owe my life to the cross where Jesus died, I often fail to stop and give him thanks. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? His mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? His then a crown of thorns was pressed into his brow. He was wounded and bruised to pay for all the crimes I'd done. So you'd think I'd take the time to humbly bow. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I see his bleeding hands and not be ashamed? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? Ungrateful am I for so many things, like the Father's tender mercies every day. And though I owe my life to the cross where Jesus died, I often fail to stop and give him thanks. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not be responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? His back was ripped apart for my healing. Then a crown of thorns was pressed into his brow. He was wounded and bruised to pay for all the crimes I've done. So you'd think I'd take the time to humbly bow. How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear his mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see his bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks? So I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you. I will magnify the power of his name. I will take a stand for Christ, for he is the Lord of all. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you. I will magnify the power of his name. I will take a stand for Christ, for he is the Lord of all. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thanks. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thanks. Thank you.
Amen. This always excites me. I saw folks take of the elements they're going to be partaking with us today that a month ago they wouldn't have been able to, but they've given their lives to Christ. That's always an excited thing. In a moment, I'm going to have you stand, but as you stand, I want you to think today, because of my turning my heart wholly to Christ, this is going to be a new cup, a new cup, a new cup. Could you stand across the building? Brother Keith, could you ask a blessing over the bread, the body of Christ? Amen. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your New Testament, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Quesada, could you ask the Lord blessing over the cup? Yes. Before you partake, I want you to say something. I want you to say, a new cup. Would you, one more time, a new cup. Let's believe, let's partake by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Son of God. Oh, he'll do a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him. Hallelujah. 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 New hope, new strength, new desire, new pursuit, new outlook. Oh, hallelujah. New attitude. Glory to God. New experience, new encounter. Hallelujah. 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 I know we have sung it thousands of times. Let's let it be new. Could we do that? Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. I'm hearing it afresh. That saved, oh, a wretch
like me.
I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, no, let's sing it. Same thing again. We're waiting on the new.
Amazing.
It's amazing. Amazing.
How sweet.
Oh, it doesn't get old. How sweet the sound. Without him, I was a wretch. I'd still be a wretch.
I was lost.
So lost. He is looking for me. I couldn't see. Oh, but he opened my eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Won't be the last cup we partake together. There is that day when we've been there. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're the one that makes it new. It's not who I am. It's not where I'm at. It's who you are. It's what you've done, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Would you shake hands with your brothers and sisters? Say, I'm glad I share the table with you. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come tonight expecting great things from the Lord. Hallelujah.